but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Omaha, Nebraska. What's the scene in Omaha? College World Series going on. Bunch of teams trying to win it all. And one athletic director in the middle of it, University of Portland's Scott Lakem. He is the AD with the Pilots, and he's joining us now. Can you tell our listeners why you're in Omaha?
Yes, John. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. I'm one of the 10 athletic directors on the Division I baseball committee that oversees the selection of the 64 teams and the bracketing and the seating and any issues that happen within the championship. So I was in Corvallis for both the regional and the super regional, and doing my 5 days in Omaha as part of the committee service.
I am eager to tell people what it's about. I've been there 3 times, but give our listeners some flavor of Omaha, Scott. Like, when you're around town, how big is the baseball field? How much of a festival is this? What does it feel like to be in it?
John, it's a real interesting perspective for me. I was last here in 1998 when I worked for Stanford Baseball at the old Rosenblatt Stadium, which I miss. But now, 27 years later, I mean, the city is electric, right, with logos. I think the biggest change is now you see people wearing shirts of teams that haven't made it, right? It's this college baseball mecca in a stadium that seats 25,000 and is full every session. But it's been neat to see the event evolve, to see Omaha build a first-class facility to keep it here for the long term. But there are tens of thousands of fans, many of whom are watching the games out in the bars across the street. In fact, I can see some of them from where I'm talking to you and don't even come into the stadium.
I get that feel, too, that, like, you know, in Williamsport, you've got the Little League World Series. You know, the Cape Cod League has their thing going on, but Omaha really is about college baseball and the atmosphere there and the teams there that are trying to win. I think it's one of the great NCAA championships. Maybe the NCAA basketball tournament is up there as well, of course. But, you know, the future of the NCAA has been something that people have talked about. I think they do these championship events well, Scott. But what is happening behind the scenes with the Power Four and trying to wrest control of some of these events?
Well, I think you said a good thing. I think the NCAA does championships well. They do national officiating well. There's a lot of things that are done well. But, you know, the hard part about Division I is, you know, with the 360 of us, you know, one size does not fit all, right? You have schools with enrollment of 60,000 and schools with an enrollment of 1,600. I think it was a matter of time before the rules changed. I think in some respects, some of them have changed quicker than we thought. I mean, you and I have talked before. I'm all for revenue share and revenue distribution and compensating student athletes. But I think we're moving a little too quickly in some other areas we may need to have some conversations about.
Yeah, I guess I understand that they want control and they want more access to these events, but I also have a hey, it's not broke, what are we doing here, what are we trying to fix mentality. Tell me if I'm wrong, Scott, but it feels like these championship events are some of the things that the NCAA does better than anything.
Well, I think back to your previous point, I think this is the best event the NCAA does, John. The men's basketball Final Four is outstanding, but watching basketball as you have in an 80,000 seat arena can be an acquired taste at times, right? And what we've done in Oklahoma City with softball and Eugene with track and field, and, you know, obviously ESPN riding shotgun with all of this, but that's, I mean, college baseball does not grow without the NCAA and what ESPN has done to evolve the series over the years.
I am eager to know where you see University of Portland fitting, and how settlement coming down and being sorted out. You know, of course, we expect more to come in that area. But what do you tell University of Portland fans and graduates and stakeholders?
Well, and that's, you know, I know we texted, I put a letter out last week that says, hey, we're in this, right? I think the good thing for us is we're in a conference, which obviously will evolve in 6 months with Gonzaga's departure, but we're in this. We're in revenue share in men's basketball. We obviously take women's basketball very seriously. We're in with soccer. We're in with cross country and track. I think there are still lanes for us to compete. I think, John, the one thing that we still need to figure out is what the trickle down is, right? What is the trickle down of dropping sports at the Power Four level, and how does that maybe impact other Olympic sports? What's the trickle down of these roster caps, right? I mean, I think you could look at it two ways. We could say, you know, now that people are offering 34 scholarships in baseball, the sky's falling. But you can also say, how many kids want to sit on the bench for 4 years, right? And now that the roster is 34 kids instead of 64, maybe, that's more opportunity for us to get some kids that we maybe didn't get in the past. And again, this is glass half full. Now, with so many schools recruiting out of the portal, and granted, we get poached in some spots, and you and I have talked about that, we're getting a higher quality of high school athlete and even student, I think, than we ever have before.
Scott, the coaches on your campus, I saw, you know, sort of an open letter that went out, and we've talked with several of the coaches about, you know, what they're going to have to do in their individual sports. What do you need to tell people about their support? If they love University of Portland athletics, what can they do to help?
Well, I think to help with scholarship dollars. I think one of two things with the House settlement. We are all in on raising money to increase the number of scholarship dollars across our sports. I want Nick Carlin-Boyd to have more scholarships in men's soccer. I want Jeff Loomis to have more in baseball. I want Rob Connor to have more in men's cross country. So if we can get Nick Carlin-Boyd up from 9.9 scholarships to 13 or 14 in men's soccer, you know, then you stair step and you count the merit aid that we're giving our students, then we're close to 28, right? Because I think what people don't know is that number is athletic aid plus merit aid, which, you know, with the aid we give our students and the level of student we recruit, if I can give Nick three or four more and have that donor support, that will make a big difference in those sports. And I think revenue share, and we've talked about it, men's and women's basketball. Men's basketball, we lost two really good athletes to Wisconsin and LSU, and we could either cry about it or put our head down. And I think Shante did a good job building a roster through the portal and through a couple of high school kids. And, you know, even with Mike Meek, I mean, Mike, we've talked about the last, what, two or three years, we haven't had a kid leave. That's going to get harder as the business changes, right? And we want to be able to have that money to revenue distribute to a freshman or a sophomore we know is an elite player, wants to go to school at UP, and we want to make it worth their while to stay at UP.
I am eager to see what happens in Omaha. Oregon State losing yesterday to Coastal Carolina. LSU looking really good on the other side of the bracket. Will you stick around for the baseball? Do you get a chance to sit in the stands and take in a baseball game and just be a fan, or are you just solely there as an administrative role?
No, I took one in this afternoon. I took in a no-hitter this afternoon. That was a lot of fun. John, I had never seen a no-hitter in my life, and I saw one today, and I saw one of our pilot student-athletes throw a perfect game back in February. But the atmosphere when that no-hitter closed out today was something I won't forget anytime soon. Even on game days, I'm watching. I'm the UCLA team rep right now, so if there's an issue with pregame protocol, if there's a weather issue, I'm the conduit between the UCLA head coach and the NCAA. But no, I'm here as a fan. I mean, this is just such a cool experience.
I am. I tell people all the time: go to Omaha, go to the Olympics, go to the Kentucky Derby, skip the Super Bowl, skip the corporate events. How do the NCAA events hold on to the charm that they have while also knowing, hey, there's a lot of revenue out there. If you grow it, you can be bigger, expand the tournament, get bigger, take on more TV dollars. How do you hold on to the charm of college athletics in that world, Scott?
Well, I think it's hard. I think it depends on the sport. I think this is a sport that's one word, right? It's Omaha. And you look, we've changed the baseball tournament 30 ways the last 25 years, right? It used to be 48 teams. Now it's 64. The way the bracket has been done in Omaha has changed many times. I think the NCAA keeps evolving this event. But, it's Eugene. It's Omaha. It's Oklahoma City. For a lot of these sports, we're synonymous with the city, right? And people coming here and really paying homage to college baseball and the excitement. And I think the real neat thing for me that I think speaks to this surviving is the number of kids here, John. And you, behind me on the plane from Seattle to Omaha was a family from Alaska that was taking their son to play in a baseball tournament here and watch the whole College World Series. I think to see the number of kids here and getting autographs and enjoying this, I think that bodes well for the next generation of college baseball. And the other thing about college baseball, I'd be bullish. I think this sport is in as good a spot as any because of what's happened to minor league baseball, right? There's 40 fewer minor league baseball teams. There's 30 fewer rounds in the Major League Baseball draft. So there are so many more kids being pushed down to college baseball, which I think the level of play has never been better.
Scott Lakem with us, University of Portland Athletic Director. What are you most proud of from a competitive standpoint in the last year for UP? You're ending the the school year cycle with a baseball season here. You look back at the last year at UP, what do you see?
I think there were ups and downs. Really proud of our men's and women's cross-country teams and what they did. And then we had two athletes win All-American honors in Eugene on Friday and Saturday, which was really neat to see. I think women's basketball is one that in this era, we started five seniors this year, and all of those kids could have easily been poached to Power Four schools. And the fact that Mike was able to hold on to them and win 30-plus games makes me feel really good about where we are. And I think just overall in the portal, I think we obviously took a couple of hits in men's basketball and other sports, but we've been able to hold on to our high-level student-athletes because they believe in UP, they believe in playing in the WCC, and I think it bodes well for the future. I mean, it's hard to hold on to kids now, but we've had players that I thought would leave us that said, no, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to play. And that's a credit to our coaches.
The women's basketball team had a great season. I think strength of schedule probably hurt the program and affected their chances of getting into the NCAA tournament. There's not a lot you can do there from a conference standpoint. Can you get teams to come play you? What can you do there to help that schedule? Because I know there's some teams that just won't play you.
There are. I think there were two strokes of bad luck. And the RPI is part luck, right? We scheduled some teams like Hawaii and Cal Baptist that we thought would be 25-30 win teams that would help our RPI that both struggled. And when we looked at the WCC, obviously Scott Ruick has a great program at Oregon State, and Washington State's good, Gonzaga's good. John, we were the only team in the top 100 in the RPI in our league. I mean, when was the last time Scott wasn't in the top 100 or Gonzaga wasn't in the top 100? I mean, historically, if all of us are in the top 50 or 60, I think we have a shot.
I think that needs to... that factor, and I kept looking at that thinking, gosh, they had a great record, that some of this is not in your control. Probably helped a little that Washington State and Oregon State were in the conference. Can you speak a little to that impact? You had WCC members, Oregon State and Washington State in there. How did that affect you guys or help you or hurt you in some ways?
No, it was great to be partners. I mean, Scott Barnes and Wolf are good athletic directors, and obviously know what they're doing, competitive programs. We beat them in some things, and they beat us in some things. I thought the competitive level was good. I think the story behind it, John, the one hard part for us, which is not a complaint, is those are teams we play in non-conference in everything, right? And now adding Seattle, that's a team we play in non-conference in everything. So we had to scramble putting schedules together, not having the Beavers and the Cougars to play in non-conference. And one thing, since I'm in Omaha, what Mitch and Oregon State baseball did was amazing, right? I'm speaking as an AD, not a committee member, to play an independent schedule and to play 18 of 19 Power Four opponents on the road or neutral. I mean, what they did is amazing.
Give us an idea, because getting the schedule put together, when they said they wanted to play as an independent, I went, how are you going to get these games? And yet, because they're a quad one opponent, they were able to get some games. But you're in the business of scheduling, Scott. Tell us how hard that is. How challenging is that?
It's really easy. I mean, for Mitch, February and March is pretty easy, right? But then you get into April and May, and when all the WCC teams or Big 12 teams or ACC teams are playing conference series, who do you play, right? That's the hard part, that last 7-8 weeks. That's why they were going from Honolulu to Iowa City in 2 days, right? It's, you know, not everybody is Notre Dame football in their independent days where there's a network that schedules for them September through November. When the hardest part of independent, and we saw this when BYU was in our league with their football program, is scheduling those last, you know, half to two-thirds of your games when everybody else has conference commitments. And in baseball, I mean, that was 25, 30 games he had to scramble to find, and they did a really nice job.
I think it's fun to watch them. It'll be interesting to see how they play with their backs against the wall here. Your baseball team has done some nice things, too, and you also scheduled them. Why was it important for you to play Oregon State? Because you put them on the schedule more than once.
Well, I mean, we'll always play them. I think, you know, credit to Jeff Loomis. I mean, we had a program for a time that really couldn't compete with Oregon State at a really high level, and I'm not sure it made sense for Oregon State to play a UP team that was 250 or 275 in RPI, right? But, you know, two of the last 3 years we've been in the top 75, top 100, and, you know, a win at our place is a quad one or a quad two game for Oregon State. So I think it helps both of us. We were 2-0 against the Ducks this year. I have to put that in there, right? We played the Huskies. I mean, it's good for our guys. I mean, our players across every sport, and back to your women's basketball question, like, our athletes love to play at the Stanfords and the Oregons and the Washingtons. That's a great experience.
I am curious where UP will be in men's basketball next year. Shante Leggins, can you speak a little bit to how you can help him and what sort of your expectations are for that program?
Well, we can help him by giving him some revenue share, which we did. I think the other thing is we learn about the ecosystem of the portal. A, Shante had some money to spend that he hasn't had in the past. But B, it was a blessing and a curse. Our players that decided to go in the portal and go somewhere else, you know, put their name in the first day of the portal, right? So we were able to be active, and we were able to put together a roster in 3 or 4 weeks where, you know, 2 years ago, we didn't have guys go into the portal till the last 24, 48 hours it was open. So having some runway to go out and get some guys made a difference.
I'm curious too, Scott, before I let you go, you know, yeah, how does the summer go for you? What athletic director in the WCC, how do you sort of spend your summer? How much planning is done there? Or do you get a chance to catch your breath at all?
I'm going to take a little bit of time. I mean, this is a new grind I'm figuring out. I mean, I've been on the road pretty much 6 weeks straight with baseball committee and conference meetings and other things. It'll be nice to be home and reintroduce myself to my wife and kids for a couple of weeks. But, you know, we're already thinking about soccer schedules and selling tickets. And back to your point about house, where do we find more money, right? How do we be more aggressive in the corporate space? How do we raise more money? And I, you know, you've asked me this question before. I think I was usually, you know, 40, 50% in finding money. Now I feel like 75 to 80% of my job is finding money, right? Having a G League team in our arena, having one of these Club World Cup teams with FIFA at Merlot this month. I mean, I'm looking under every couch cushion, John, to give our coaches what they need.
Scott Lakem, I appreciate you. From Omaha, have a steak while you're out there.
I did that last night. Thanks, John.
There you go. I love it. Love that he saw a no-hitter, too. How about that, Stephen? You get to go out to Omaha, and you get to witness a little history while you're there. University of Portland playing in the WCC. They've got a place in that ecosystem. I'm worried about college athletics. I know a lot of people are. It feels like there's been a real separation of the haves and the have-nots. It's a turnoff in some ways. I get ambition. I understand wanting to compete at the highest levels. I just don't want college athletics to lose itself while it's chasing national championships, and it feels like it has in so many ways. But Omaha, the NCAA tournament in basketball, the NCAA championships in track and field, there are some events that still have that feel. And I'm hopeful that at the end of this tournament here in Omaha, we'll still feel like it's a college baseball experience. All right, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we will talk a little rowing. If you're a rowing fan, stick around. If you're not, I'm going to turn you into a person interested in rowing in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus the 5 at 5 coming up top of the hour. Leave it here.